He's Tony Ryan on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. He's got both.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
He's got classic soul. Okay, I can't think of anything else.
I'm Tony Ryan. Tune in Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Soul Central Station with Tony Ryan.
99.5 FM WBAI in the NY. Good afternoon to all of our folks. That last program was Latin Roots with your host Felipe Luciano, a program which you can hear every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Now, normally at 4 o'clock, we would have Isaac Ferguson and Kamara Douglas with Caribbean Voices and Beyond, but they are just taking a little backseat. They're taking a little vacation until next week, so not to worry. So until then, we have a special Pacifica Radio special for y'all today. This is the Pacifica Radio Democracy Project. Special 2 hour for y'all tonight. So please stay tuned for that. Once again, you are tuned in to 99.5 FM WBAI New York.
There goes Mac the Knife.
The shark has a pretty teeth, dear.
And he shows them pearly white.
Just a jackknife has Mackie, dear.
And he keeps it out of sight.
Hello. My name is Alex Steinberg, and I am elected representative on the WBI local station board. I am also a member of the Pacifica National Board and the chair of the Pacifica National Board. The program you are about to hear, the Pacifica Radio Democracy Project, is about a proposed rewriting of the bylaws of the Pacifica Foundation. The Pacifica Foundation is the parent organization of WBI Radio in New York, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFK in Los Angeles, KPFA in Berkeley, KPFT in Houston. The Pacifica Foundation also includes the Pacifica Archives and over 250 affiliates in the U.S. and internationally. This rewrite of the Pacifica bylaws will be brought to a vote by the members of Pacifica in a referendum in June of this year. That means that listeners and staff who, through their contributions, have been supporters of this historic foundation will get to decide. To sum up my views briefly, bylaws rewrite from a group calling themselves New Day Pacifica would end democratic governance in Pacifica Foundation. The first thing it would do would be the removal of our duly elected members of the local and national boards and replace them with a hand-picked list of four officers who have been elected and would be able to run Pacifica with a dictatorial hand for the next 3 years. It would end community radio as we have come to know it. It would move Pacifica into the direction of being another corporation like NPR that parrots the views of the centers of power in this country instead of providing a radical alternative. It would impose on Pacifica a top-down structure and remove the grassroots type of input we currently have into programming and management. And it would not do anything to solve our financial problems or improve our programming. It would also jeopardize the continued existence of WBAI and some of our other stations, as many of those who support this bylaws rewrite would like to see WBAI signals sold. In short, New Day Pacifica represents an existential threat to Pacifica and the ideals upon which it was founded. I would now like to begin to hear from some of our guests, and I will start with WBI producer Johanna Fernandez. Johanna?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you so very much, Alex, for leading this conversation. I wanted to talk about the broader significance of this turn to the national dismembering of democracy. I'd like to remind everyone that the local has historically been the seat of social movements, which in this country have expanded the definition of freedom and democracy. So anyone who wants to dismember the local is dismembering democracy, but also in this period of creeping fascism, opening the door to more of what we've seen, alternative facts, and an alternate understanding of reality that is the product of media consolidation and control, like is being proposed by this committee. So briefly, our listening audience probably know that today, six media giants control 90% of what we read, watch, or listen to. The question is, how is taking away control from the local, from community members, going to counter this situation? I'll offer some perspective. 37 years ago, 50 corporations controlled the media landscape in America. And how did we get here? Well, the Federal Communications Commission was created, you probably know, in 1934. And through the 1970s, the U.S. government largely acted to preserve media diversity and prevent media consolidation. Up until then, government policy really discouraged anyone, any one entity or corporation from owning too many newspapers or television stations or from reaching too large an audience. Why is the question? Because we know this at WBAI and at Pacifica, that diversity of opinion and perspectives are key to establishing truth, which is up for grabs today, and preserving a democracy. We can't be for media because we support democracy and then pretend that we are going to continue to support media by strangling its democratic proclivities within, as New Day, this New Day project is attempting to do. Again, I'm going to remind folks of what singer-songwriter and poet Jim Morrison said. I think he said this in the late 2018, a few years ago, that whoever controls the media controls the mind. So what happened? How is it that now six corporations control all of the media in the United States? Well, there was a crisis of capitalism in the 1960s and 70s. Its political managers had essentially been suffering a crisis of legitimacy throughout the 1960s. And what happened? How did they regain power? How did they reorganize themselves to regain hegemony? Through neoliberal policies to the crisis. And what does that mean exactly? Because this is, when I read what you sent me, Alex, this sounded like neoliberalism at a ostensibly progressive station like Pacifica. Neoliberalism was the response to the crisis of the 60s. And what is that? We're going to deregulate the workplace. We're going to deregulate environmental standards. We are going to deregulate taxes and establish these tax breaks for the rich. And we're going to deregulate media. So the deregulation of the media to make room for corporate consolidation was key. And this started in the 1980s, essentially. Ronald Reagan's appointee to the Federal Communications Commission, I think his name was Chairman Mark Fowler, opened the floodgates to corporate control with his approval of deregulation. Mark Fowles. Then in 1996, Bill Clinton handed media corporations a major victory when he signed the Telecommunications Act of 1966, which dramatically raised caps on the number of local newspapers and television stations a single corporation could own and the percentage of national audience a single corporation could reach. Key here, and I'm going to end, was that local reporting and local radio stations were devoured. Their control was stripped by this neoliberalism in the media and corporate consolidation. And today, local channels and radio stations continue to be the new frontier of this trend. Why? Because more people listen to local TV and local radio to get the news, then listen to, interestingly enough, cable television, and then even read print newspapers. And I'll give you those statistics. According to the Pew Research Center in 2016, they determined that 46% of Americans said they get the news from local TV and local radio. So when you talk about strangling the democratic capacity of WBAI and all of the affiliate stations of Pacifica by appointing a board and stripping members of their power, you are acting in the vein of corporate media, and you are destroying the possibility for taking America back to expand the experience of democracy and equality. That's what the folks at Pacifica, who are part of this New Day contingent, are doing. And by the way, I'll just end by saying that I've gotten a lot of phone calls from my listening audience asking me if I'm part of the project, because the show I host in the morning on WBAI is titled A New Day. I am not part of the of this attempt to dismember democracy at Pacifica. I think that the people who are should be exposed, as whether they are conscious of it or not, they are operating in the vein and supporting the long trend in the consolidation of corporate media in the United States over the last 37 years. It's a shame. It's an outrage.
Thank you, Johanna. Just as a follow-up, do you have a proposal to bring before us as to what can be done? Well, one obvious thing, of course, is to vote down this referendum. But we have an additional problem. This is not the first such referendum we've had to go through. We had a referendum just a year ago of a kind of a similar proposal to rewrite our bylaws and saddle us with an anti-democratic structure. That one was defeated by a two-thirds margin quite handily. But it really takes a lot of our resources to keep voting down these referendums. Can you think of what we can do to enable this organization to go forward without having to look over our shoulders every year to see who else is trying to take us over?
Well, part of the problem is that we are always lacking funds. And what we need is for our listening audience first to become more active in the life of WBAI, and second, to really take it upon themselves to help us raise funds for the station and to help us grow our audience in New York City and Washington, D.C. and Texas and beyond. How? By telling a friend. Telling a friend that you know of a dynamic, community-run radio station that is offering a perspective, a different perspective, a radical perspective on what's going on in American society today. There are diverse voices and we need to support them. Tell a friend, tune in, but let's pitch in and let's let's give the station $2, $3, $4, $5, $6 a month, whatever we can. Let's do a bake sale for WBAI. Let's throw a party for WBAI so that they can keep their lights on. That's just one of or a number of suggestions. But this is really a moment for us to come together as a community, as producers, as the board, to shut this attempt to strip us of democracy once and for all. And we need to expose these folks. We need to launch a media campaign exposing the ways in which they're acting with corporate media.
All right. Thank you, Johanna. Let me remind everybody, this is a special program brought to you by Pacifica Radio's Democracy Project. And we're here discussing a threat to the democratic structure of Pacifica called the New Day Pacifica bylaws rewrite. And I'd like to introduce our other guests for the next 45 minutes. First is Grace Aaron. She's a former director from our Los Angeles station, KPA, also a former interim executive director of this foundation, I might add. Next is Ralph Pointer. Ralph is a current director from WBAI and a member like myself of the WBAI local station board. And Dee Dee Halleck. Dee Dee is also a member of the WBAI local station board. So let's start off with Grace from Los Angeles. Grace, could you give us a few details about what this bylaws rewrite proposal is all about?
Sure. Thanks for inviting me to be on the show. And I'd like to say I really enjoyed Johanna's talk about democracy and media and your preamble also, Alex. I'd like to start by saying that in October of 2019, WBAI was shut down, and a lot of the proponents of that shutdown, which was illegal and overturned by a court decision, but a lot of the proponents of the shutdown are part of this new referendum. Now, after the shutdown, there was another referendum that failed by a two-thirds vote because it was so unpopular. And a lot of the people who were involved in the shutdown of WBAI and in the referendum are now trying to do it again. Did they learn their lesson? No. The referendum last year cost Pacifica about $150,000. This is a drain on our finances, but also on our energies. And what is this referendum, and why is it going to be harmful to Pacifica rather than helpful? There probably are bylaws changes needed because our bylaws are kind of cumbersome, but these bylaws changes are really bad. And not only that, they're not they're making the bylaws, they're more complicated than the current bylaws. These bylaws are, I think, about 58 pages long, something like 10 or 15 pages longer than our current bylaws. Now, what is the structure of this new effort? How do they want it? First of all, it starts off with electing four officers who will be officers for 3 years, and they were self-appointed. They are Sharon Kyle from Los Angeles. She and her husband own a Los Angeles online newspaper, which might be a conflict of interest, by the way. It is a news entity. And Sharon Kyle, who's a lovely woman, she has not been really strongly involved with Pacifica. I don't think she knows what she's getting herself into. But anyway, her online newspaper is not a nonprofit. It's a for-profit. So it may be that she likes for-profit media and may be amenable to Pacifica taking corporate underwriting, et cetera. Now, the next person who would be the vice chair for 3 years would be Jan Goodman from KPFK. Jan Goodman supported the shutdown of WBAI and also supported the last referendum, which failed. And then we have Lyndon Foley from KPFT. I believe he supported the shutdown of WBAI and the last bylaws referendum. I'm not certain about that, but I do have a talk. He did speak at a National Finance Committee, or no, I'm sorry, a Strategic Planning Committee of the National Board, saying he's in favor of corporate underwriting. Then we have Akio Tanaka from KPFA. He would be the secretary for 3 years. And he supported the shutdown of WBAI and the last failed referendum. None of these have professional radio experience. None of these officers, they complain that we're not professional enough in Pacifica, but they have no radio experience. Now, notice that none of the officers are from either WPFW or WBAI, and none are from the staff or affiliates. So that means that basically WPFW and WBAI will be locked out of any real significant input into national governance of Pacifica. So that's the first four, and that's for 3 years. We have no choices, no choice here. We have to take it or leave it. And I hope everyone listening to this show or spread the word that these bylaws should be left. And if you sign the petition to get this referendum going, please unsign it. You can unsign it by going by emailing the National Election Supervisor at nes@pacifica.org, nes@pacifica.org, and saying that you want to unsign, remove your name from this petition. But anyway, it's most likely that enough signatures have been gathered to have this referendum move forward. So what will happen if this referendum passes? Each station will be allowed to elect one board member. How can any one person represent an entire station? This is silly. It will give the majority of opinion at the board the only opinion valid on the national board, because minority opinion will be excluded, obviously, because one person only will represent the entire station on the national board. So now you have nine board members, one elected person from each of the five stations, and the four already elected officers who are officers for the first 3 years. Then the East Coast stations, I should note, that have the greatest number of black and brown staff programmers and members will be locked out of any leadership role on the board. Yes, that's right. They'll be completely locked out because the leadership officers are pre-selected, and they are from two from the Los Angeles area, one from the Berkeley area, and one from the Houston area. No representation in the officer and of the officers on the national board from WPFW in DC or WBAI in New York. So we're up to nine board members. Then two staff representatives, one paid and one unpaid, would be elected in nationwide staff elections, with paid staff voting for paid and unpaid staff voting for unpaid. This gives 10 times more representation to the 100 paid staffers than to the 1,000-plus unpaid staffers who produce the majority of the on-air programs. Because there are more staff paid staff at the West Coast stations, this automatically means that they will control this one paid staff seat. Now we're up to 11 board members. There would also be one board member from our affiliates network, and staff members and affiliates would also be locked out of any officer positions. This brings the number of board members to 12. Then the board can appoint three extra board members. Right off the bat, the West Coast stations will have majority rule and will most likely strengthen that by appointing board members who will side with them. So are you getting the picture? The East Coast stations, which have much more minority representation on all levels, will basically be locked out of any important decision making for this nonprofit. And there's another very troubling thing in these bylaws, and that is that the executive director is given much more power now with much less oversight. Currently, the local boards have oversight over the hire and fire of general managers. That will be eliminated. And the executive director, the only oversight over the executive director will be the national board, and the national board will be controlled mainly – most likely by the West Coast stations. So these are, and there have been many proponents of actually selling the WBAI license, coming from the KPFA area, actually. There are proponents of these, this referendum from KPFA who have suggested selling the WBAI signal in order to fund the other stations. And there also have been people stating the treasurer at KPFA has stated that she feels that if any station can't make its bills, that it should be made into a repeater station, which is what was the attempt at WBAI. WBAI was for a short time turned into a repeater station. So what we're this is what we're looking at. We're looking at the almost complete erosion of democracy in Pacifica. Appointed boards, an emphasis on major donor fundraising, which will make the, following that will be programming that appeals to major donors, which will push our message to the right, of course, and probably there will be an effort to start having corporate underwriting, will be NPRized, in my opinion, within a year or two. So that's my evaluation of what will happen if these bylaws pass.
Thank you very much for that detailed rundown of what these new proposed bylaws are going to look like. I'd like to hear from our next guest. That would be Ralph Pointer. Ralph is a member of the WBI local station board. He's also much more than that. Many of you know him as an activist. Ralph, you go ahead. The floor is yours. You have to unmute yourself. Okay.
Yes, my brothers and sisters.
Louder.
So much for having me. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you speak a little louder?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
And I say thank you so much for having me. And thank you, Grace. Thank you, Johanna. And thank you, Alex, for giving us a complete, clear, and thorough overview of what is happening at Pacifica. Now, I confess, I'm going to talk about you and me, you and I, the people who participate in Pacifica, who have been participating in Pacifica. And when this first started, I said to myself, what is this about? Now, those who are demanding or asking for a change in Pacifica are using the excuse of making it better. Well, don't we all want to make it better? Now, you have heard Grace's explanation of how they see it can be made better. Well, that's an overview, but I'm looking for the gravamen. What brings this on? What is the heart of this situation? Now, when the first attempt to change the bylaws was beaten back soundly, I figured this will be the end of that. And now we have the second attempt, which is the specter, brings on the specter of destruction of Pacifica because we are broke. And they add $150,000 onto the debt every time they have one of these tantrums, one of these attempts to change the bylaws. And I'm still looking. What is the heart of this? What brings this on? And then recently we get the hint, or more than a hint, the charge. The reality of the 50s revisited again with red baiting. Can you imagine, my brothers and sisters, my friends, those who have participated in community radio, those who have participated in justice over the years, have associated themselves with red baiting. And I find this terrifying. I find this confusing. And then I say to myself, there are many good people who have signed on to this petition for having the bylaws changed. And I say to myself, what is this about? And the answer is, they do not know in whose bed they are sleeping. I see that many people say, well, they were involved many years ago in political struggle. They're my friend. And if they say something, I'm joining them. And I say to them, be careful if you lie with dogs. You will get fleas. And this is a terrible plea. Anyone who would involve themselves with folks who would use red baiting are being used terribly to destroy that which they think they are fighting for. And as you know, when someone asks me to speak, I call, if you excuse the expression, a spade a spade. This is what's happening. We have heard neocolonialism. We have heard the terms of, what would we call it? Fascism, that's another issue. Neoliberalism, but I'm going to call it exactly what it is. It is the destruction of one of the last bastions of what we call freedom. That is the free flow of information that the corporate media will not touch. This is where they are going. And we must say it clearly. Those folks are who have signed on as a mistake. They mistook, used friendship to destroy what we claim, what we all claim to be a part of. What must we do to stop them again? Well, I'm old enough to remember the slogan, we did it before and we can do it again. That was used to defeat the fascist movements in Europe. Well, we did defeat the referendum before, but this time they are back. More money, more slick literature, more support, economic support of the change of bylaws than before. So we must do it again better. I do believe the change in bylaws was defeated something 70-30, something in that area. Well, we must do better. We must not only go to our friends in the city, we must call our friends in Washington, in Houston, in Los Angeles, across the country, and say, do you know what you signed on to? Do you know what you're supporting? And I am here to tell you, you are supporting those folks who in their really heart of hearts are unhappy with the terms socialism, communism, national health care, social security. This is what they are opposing. And you, my brothers and sisters, who have been in this struggle for workers' rights, the rights of all, the rights of people to be comfortable in who they are, the rights of people in prison, they who are looking to change the bylaws are looking to destroy these efforts.
Thank you.
I hear that my time is coming to an end, but I say to you, look at yourself, look at your friends, and Ralph said it. And if you would like, I would defend every word that I have used up until now to clarify anything that you do not understand that I am talking about. Free yourselves, free your friends, free Pacifica from this octopus that is looking to destroy community radio and free speech. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ralph, for that truly inspiring contribution. And we will be right back after a brief musical interlude. Hello, you are listening to a special program brought to you by the Pacifica Radio Democracy Project, and we're discussing the bylaws rewrite that's been introduced by the New Day Pacifica group, and our next guest is local station board member and well-known activist, free speech activist, Dee Dee Halleck. Dee Dee?
Hello there. Can you hear, is the sound all right?
Could be a little louder, but you know.
Okay. I want to thank you, Alex, for helping to organize this program. I think it's very important and really an example of the sort of democracy that Pacifica has provided a model for the rest of the country and indeed the world. There's very few networks and stations like this. And I want to thank Johanna. I think it's really outrageous that this group is calling itself New Day, because that's the really wonderful title of your show that I've been listening to. It's just an amazing show. It's at 7 o'clock every morning. And particularly this last week, with there's a number of strikes going on, and We've all heard about the Amazon strike, and there's one of hotel workers in D.C. And Johanna's show has been the only national voice for that kind of struggle. And what's particularly moving is actually hearing the voices of other workers who call in and sympathize, but also tell their own stories. There's nothing like that on radio anywhere else in the United States anyway. So I really appreciate that show. I thought it was really useful to have your rundown of the situation, Grace. And I especially must say that Ralph's passion is what is going to carry us through. Thank you, Ralph, for laying out the dangers of this situation. We all know, to me, the big problem, and everyone has sort of made allusion to it, but is the waste of this crazy attempt to take over, especially when the last vote from pretty much the same people was so clearly ended up in being a rejection of that. And to spend $150,000 again is just really, it boils my blood. There's so many important things going on that we could talk about that we need to have discussions about, but to have to do this again when they're this coup attempters, we seem to be in the age of coups, and what they did when they tried to take over WBAI was just so pathetic. To think that they could replace the current network with their own sensibility is very clearly not there. So one of the things I was thinking we should, if we can move forward without having to always answer these people, is to think about the FCC, which has in Roosevelt's time actually was not made up of corporate powers. And since particularly Clinton and Reagan, and it's just been all of the industrial media, the commercial media that has been appointed by the Democrats often, and certainly by the Republicans. So I think that to just try to look for a minute at the big picture, which I really appreciate Johanna's survey of the whole media world and the commercialism that has infected, and what an important small voice we have here with the different network, different radio stations of Pacifica, and how important they are. I wanted just to say it for a moment. Ralph mentioned the free flow of information, which unfortunately we all want free flow of information, but you have to be careful with that phrase, because that was used in the 70s and 80s by the U.S. to actually destroy an attempt to actually construct a more free and responsible and democratic media. We had Sean McBride had set up a commission at UNESCO, and the idea was that there shouldn't just be such a predominance of media around the world that was only from Hollywood and New York and London or whatever. And that and there were wonderful reports. There's a book called One World, Many Voices, which the U.S. was so upset by and used the term free flow of information. What they meant was that there were several countries that were trying to outlaw commercial media, that they felt that media should be non-commercial. And the U.S. wanting to be able to sell Coca-Cola and whatever else they're selling, they said, oh, we need a free flow of information, meaning that they were very against any country outlawing commercials. So you have to be careful about these so-called democratic phrases, because that was really used against free flow of information. So in terms of the reality of that, it was really about having commercial systems. So, but I think that it's so important. I've only been on the board for a year, and I must say I came on right after the coup attempt, which was really horrendous to see how much devastation but how I was very proud to see the way that Berthold and the crew of wonderful engineers who were able to really reconstruct the whole transmission and bring it back on the air. We really need to understand where these people are coming from. They are not our friends. The scary thing is that BAI is so valuable. That is the problem, because I have a feeling that there is an attempt to sell the network and use that money in nefarious ways. It's very important that we keep our spot on the dial and our transmission ability to have a strong signal in the middle of the metropolitan area. So thank you.
Thank you, Dee Dee. I just want to remind you, this is a special program brought to you by the Pacifica Radio's Democracy Project. And in a few minutes, we're going to see if we can take some listener call-ins. The call-in number is 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Let me repeat one more time. 212-209-2877. And while we're waiting, I'd just like to ask any of our guests if they have any questions for any of our other guests. Anybody? Ralph, you're muted.
I would like to clear up something. Thank you, Dee Dee, if I may call you Dee Dee. What we are talking about is the free flow of community information as opposed to the corporate swill that we get all day, every day. I hope that everyone here understands that information, such as workers' strikes. We have never had a national strike. Well, it can only happen if we have community radio along with the new innovations of communication, the cell phone, and our connection to educate the people with the cell phone to understand what's at stake, to understand what real justice is all about. Thank you.
Okay. Giovanni, do we have any guests calling in yet? I think he's indicating there's somebody calling in.
Sorry about that. We actually have a lot of callers on hold, so I was just getting ready to line them up for you. So you ready to take some?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, time goes by much faster than we imagined, but correct, we'll do what we can.
All righty. Ready? All right. Thank you very much for calling. Please tell us your name and where you are calling from.
Hello. Is this my turn?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Hi, thanks, Giovanni. Thank you, everyone who's made a statement. I was a producer of BAI for 10 years and was a former paid employee as well. And I'm a poll tax member, listening member, paying a poll tax to be able to vote. And I have appreciated everything that everyone has said so far. So I had this idea 2 months ago, even before these crazy people started up their nonsense again, that those of you who would like to do this, I will be very happy to give out my email address, and here it is, so get ready to write it down. It's the word music, M-U-S-I-C, R as in rain, D as in dog, B as in boy, at yahoo.com. I'll repeat that because that's what you do on the radio. Music, M-U-S-I-C, R as in rain, D as in dog, B as in boy, at yahoo.com. Please email me, because what I'd like to do is go to 388 and get some premiums that are not being sold, put them on a table, get some flyers ready to hand out, and do some fundraising. Professor Fernandez just suggests we do a bake sale. We can bake stuff, bring it to the table, sell premiums. We need to raise money. We need to raise money, and we need to get BAI back to real community programming, because most of it is not. And that is why I learned this from one of the best program directors we had years ago. The reason why we're not getting the money, we might have listeners, but we don't have membership numbers. And this was told to me by a member of the LSB some months ago. The reason why we're not raising money is because of the non-community involvement of the people on the radio, whether they're producers or guests that the producers have on. It is the quality of the radio, not how many listeners. Because if people are not paying money, it doesn't mean anything. We just had to get a money arrangement to pay staff salaries. And most of the staff members are personal friends of mine. So if you want, email me, and I'll email you back, and we can arrange a time and a day on the weekend I'll bring the table, put it outside 388, bring down some premiums, bake some goods, raise some money. Someone can volunteer to make some flyers. And we need to combat these crazy people. As Ralph said, this is red baiting, and these people have obviously, like, turned their brains around. We need to have programs like this on a weekly basis.
We'd like to hear from some other callers.
Yeah, I know that, Alex. I'm finishing up. I know how to do radio. I'm watching the clock. So musicrdb@yahoo.com. Email me, and let's get some action going. Let's do something.
Okay, thank you. Next caller.
Hey, caller, you're on the air. Please tell us your name and where you are calling from.
Manhattan, my name is Evans.
What are your thoughts?
All right, this is not a thought. This is what happened to me. This is a public safety announcement to black senior citizens. Just now, before I came into my house, there was a car on the corner of 15th Street. It waited through the lights until I walked into the walkway with my light, and then he started to come at me. And so that's happening all over the city. So people, what they do is they act like they're being real nice behind their cars, and they're, oh, go ahead, and they're running people over, all right? It's happened to me probably 4 times that I can remember, but it happens quite a lot. And they're usually the TLC cars with black windows. When they see the brothers on the corner, they wait through the light and bust around the corner. Sometimes there's two of them, one right behind each other. You better listen to me, because that's what's happening. So this is the underbelly of New York, people. All of this race crap is crap. You better watch your backyard, because these people have already infiltrated this city, and they're killing people. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. And you would not hear anything like that except at WBAI in New York.
All right. Hey, caller. Thank you so much. Please tell us your name and where you are calling from.
Greetings to the beloved family. I want to address some earlier comments and with a suggestion. It was mentioned, I think Johanna was speaking about Clinton, but she said 1960-something, but I believe the Telecommunications Act, I'm sure she misspoke, was, what was that, 1996? If it was Clinton, it would have been around about 96, right? And also, she mentioned Reagan, and in reference, not he went further because he, when they used to have the Fairness Doctrine, because part of what the last brother was talking about has a lot to do with people like Rush Limbaugh and what AM radio, the fascism of it. And so Reagan, once it had been passed, the Fairness Doctrine of the FCC had been passed through the Congress, Reagan vetoed it. But I think what we, somebody earlier had mentioned the FCC, and I think that we need to, I know Biden is scrambling, but the head of the FCC needs to be put in place, okay, because, of course, it's Donald's guy in there, which is disastrous. And Cedric Richmond is the White House's public liaison, and, you know, your representatives also, but they need to be told that that's urgent, to put in someone through the FCC. And we need to follow through because I heard a brother, and it's probably connected to what that last brother was telling us about, you know, being killed in community, which has become mainstream. But I heard a brother speak about who can actually listen to that hate AM radio, and he was saying that 1,500 stations and how hateful it was, you know, I can't even listen to it. But we need to figure out some strategy. A company like Premier Broadcasting that puts on George Norrie, essentially a person of color who's had David Horowitz on as a guest, or someone who considers himself an avowed white supremacist. So we need to come up with some strategies as to how we can get enforcement of both the letter and spirit of the FCC, because fascism has become mainstream and lifted up. And thank you.
And thank you. We're going to have to wrap up this segment of the program. We will have another hour shortly, but I'd like to hear once more from our guests, and I'll take them in the reverse order from which we heard from them. Dee Dee, you go first. You have to unmute yourself.
One thing I meant to finish off the UNESCO discussion is the fact that because of the fact that UNESCO supported an initiative to try to make democratic communications, the U.S. stopped funding UNESCO and still owes the UN hundreds of millions of dollars that they stopped paying. And it was really, it destroyed a very important part of the United Nations worldwide work in education and science, which is what UNESCO is.
Thank you, Dee Dee. Ralph, you go next. Please keep your remarks short because we're just running out of time.
Why must it always be I that keep my remarks short?
It's always you. Sometimes
we are in the heart of communications world, New York City. It is our responsibility and our possibility of turning this around. Come on, New Yorkers. Let's step up to the plate. Thank you.
Thank you, Ralph. Grace, you're next.
Yes. Thank you, everyone. I'd like to say, first of all, support all your Pacifica stations, WBAI. Support it financially. consider getting involved with the Community Advisory Board, which you can join at any time, and consider becoming a candidate for your local station board at WBAI. This is very important. Pretty soon, we're going to have elections for half of the local station boards at each of the five Pacifica stations. I'm assuming that this referendum is going to be defeated. And then we'll have local station board elections, and we need the participation of people in the community. So I'm putting out an invitation to everybody from Pacifica, I think I can say that, to please get involved, not only financially, but also with your participation. We honor and appreciate your participation.
Thank you. Johanna.
Whenever we get a proposal to appoint people rather than elect them in any area of life, what we see happening is that working class people lose, and Black people lose, and Latinx people lose, and all racially oppressed, non-heteronormative people lose. What we also lose is the radical tradition. Those who seek to address the root causes of social problems go out the door, and we start getting red-baited. But also the Black radical tradition will lose terribly if the folks win over on the other side of the country. So we have to fight centralization and concentration with more democracy, with more participation, and with a larger, more robust audience for our affiliate stations.
Thank you, everybody. Please don't go away. The Pacifica Radio's Democracy Project will be back for another hour with a different set of guests. But I want to thank everybody who was on this hour.
Oh, the shark has pretty teeth, dear, and he shows them pearly white, just a jackknife has back teeth, dear, and he keeps it way out of sight. When that shark bites with his teeth, dear, fancy white gloves, though, has MacHeath, dear. So there's barely ever one trace of red on the sidewalk one Sunday morning. Lies a body oozing light. Round the corner, but that someone perhaps could chance be Mac the Knife. From a tugboat on the river going slow, a cement bag, it is dropping down.
Hello, my name is Alex Steinberg, and I am one of your elected representatives on the WBAI local station board. I am also a member of the Pacifica National Board and the chair of the Pacifica National Board. The program you are about to hear, brought to you by the Pacifica Radio Democracy Project, is about a proposed rewriting of the bylaws of the Pacifica Foundation. The Pacifica Foundation is the parent organization of WBAI Radio in New York, WPFW Radio in Washington, KPFK in Los Angeles, KPFA in Berkeley, California, and KPFT in Houston. Pacifica Foundation also includes the Pacifica Archives and over 250 affiliates in the U.S. and internationally. This rewrite of the bylaws will be brought to a vote by the members of Pacifica in a referendum in June of this year. That means listeners and staff who, through their contributions, have been supporters of this historic foundation will get to decide. To sum up my views briefly, this bylaws rewrite from a group calling themselves New Day Pacifica would end democratic governance in the Pacifica Foundation. The first thing it would do would be to remove our duly elected members on the local and national board and replace them with a hand-picked list of four officers who have never been elected and would be able to run Pacifica with a dictatorial hand for the next 3 years. It would end community radio as we have come to know it. It would move Pacifica in the direction of being another corporation like NPR that parrots the views of the centers of power in this country instead of providing a radical alternative. It would impose on Pacifica a top-down structure and remove the grassroots type of input we currently have into programming and management. And it would not do anything to solve our financial problems or improve our programming. It would also jeopardize the continued existence of WBAI and some of our other stations, as many of those who support this bylaws rewrite would like to see the WBAI signals sold. In short, New Day Pacifica represents an existential threat to Pacifica and the ideals upon which it was founded. Huh? I would now like to introduce the guests for our second hour. They are Ronald Pinchbeck from our Washington, D.C. station, Carolyn McIntyre from WBAI. Let me just add, Ronald is a director on the Pacifica National Board, and Ronald has a long history with WBAI, both as a producer and a former manager, I believe. Carolyn?
You keep calling me Ronald. You sound like my mama.
Carolyn is the current chair of the WBAI local station board. We also have with us Steve Zeltzer from KPFA in Berkeley. Steve is a labor activist and has been a producer at KPFA. I think his program was removed at some point from KPFA because the powers that be at that station didn't like the message. And finally, we have longstanding premier WBAI producer Mimi Rosenberg, who has been leading the struggle for many years here. So we'll start with Ron.
You know, Alex, first of all, thanks to everybody involved in this call so far. It was Ralph, thank you so much for the history, you know, and Edie, thank you very, very much. First time really meeting you, but you know, there's a lot of history here. There's a lot of knowledge here. You know, there's a lot of water under the bridge. You know, a lot of experience, a lot of wisdom. Okay, and you know, the one thing that I want everybody to understand. That's why I'm gonna say it first. Alex, you made reference to it, you know, in your closing remarks there, the opening remarks. The thought of turning this network over to four untried, inexperienced people who somehow think that they can run a network is ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. If local station boards, you know, can't, and Pacifica National Board and Pacifica Management are having issues, what do you think is going to happen to these four individuals that because of pre-selection on their part, See, that's what makes this whole thing so ludicrous and crazy, that they think that they have the experience, the expertise, the wisdom, the spirit, and I'm gonna put that word in there, the spirit, to operate a network like Pacific. If they had the spirit, they wouldn't be engaged in this. If they had the spirit, they would understand the financial implications that many have talked about prior to me, that this is going to cost the network. It's a deliberate attempt to bankrupt the network and to confuse its membership. So that is the cornerstone, folks. It's about democracy. It's about disenfranchisement, intentional disenfranchisement. It's right there in their materials. It's right there in their materials. Ralph was right. They don't have the, if they eliminate the donor base, this is what I mean by eliminate the donor base. All these listeners that have all these years supported PFW, supported BAI, supported KPFT, KNA, all these listeners would all of a sudden lose their power, will lose their voice. And who's gonna advocate on their behalf? So this is what the listeners need to understand. There are no quick fixes to any of this. There are no quick fixes to any of this, but the idea of improving the way we do things, that's embraced by everybody at Pacifica. We always try to do things better. We always want to do things better. Democracy is messy. Democracy is messy. People have differences of opinions. If we don't stand up and say no to this, then there won't be any more LSB meetings. Okay? There won't be no more CAB meetings. There won't be no more community involvement. Not with a vote. Not with a vote. So that's the one thing I want to emphasize. That impacts every signal area. Not just BAI, not just PFW, not just T, all of them. It would take away the voice of the people, and that is an anathema to everything that Lou Hill brought this network to be. So that's the fight. That's the message. You know, keep your rights. Keep your rights to vote. Keep your rights to be involved. Keep your rights of opportunity. Can you imagine how many great people have come through our LSB? Ambrose Lane, okay? Oh, my goodness. The list goes on for us at PFW, all right? For us at PFW, there's a whole list of great people that have come through the LSB process that have made an impact, you know, on not only on this network, but on the station, okay? So that's my appeal. That's why I'm on this call, because I want the people in the BAI to understand that, you know, we are with you. We know you're with us. We feel that you understand the threat here. Okay. There won't be any LSB to say, no, you can't sell or signal swap or change your programming. There won't be none of that. The bottom line, folks. That's you know, if there's one thing I learned from Star Trek is to listen to Mr. Spock and his logic. Okay, put it on the blackboard. See if it adds up. Okay, see where it goes. And this is going only to benefit those individuals who are going to be self-appointed to run a network that has been in business now. PFW alone has been in business for 44 years. But now they got a better idea. All right. That's my opening statement.
Thank you, Ron. I just want to remind everybody, this is a special program produced by Pacifica Radio's Democracy Project. I'm Alex Steinberg. I'm the chair of the Pacifica National Board, and we're just going to hear from our guests first, and then we're going to take some listener call-ins. To prepare you for that, the call-in number is 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Next, I'd like to hear from Carolyn McIntyre, the chair of the WBAI Local Station Board.
Thank you, Alex. How much time do I have? I just want to do a time check.
Let's say 3 minutes.
Okay. So I'm just remembering a year from last October when that octopus that Ralph Pointer was talking about went from the ball in the head with all the power and money all the way through that octopus limb, showed up at the door of WBAI at 388 Atlantic one morning. Our interim IED, John Vernial, showed up and fired everybody and locked the doors, took down the art, took away a lot of files with no warning, and that's what happened. And it took us a month to recapture. Thank goodness for a lot of help from everybody and from all of us pulling together and working really hard to bring the station back. And I'm seeing, you know, the familiar, beautiful faces of Mimi Rosenberg, who was there at those court dates. And I remember seeing you and on the steps of City Hall, you know, rallying the energy that, and it really took a tremendous amount of energy. And our lawyer, Arthur Schwartz, to get us back. And during that time, you could see what this group was about. Because overnight, all the local programming, the beautiful shows, the incredible diversity of voices and types of shows on WBAI, from advocating women's rights, Latino shows, Haitian shows, African-American voices, education, the crossroads with Basir, to Ecologic, protecting the environment, to John Cain's Native American voices. They all just got swept aside in one swoop, just like that, deleted, like we delete things on the internet now. And instead, we get all this programming that was piped in from California. So that's what you can see is ahead. And I'm here to have your back, to have everybody's back, to have Ron Pinchett's back for showing up here for us. Thank you. And to have the back of everybody who wants to protect these precious, precious voices, this beautiful fabric that's called WBAI that doesn't exist anywhere else in New York. And by the way, we have to protect radio. Because once it's all on the internet, one click of the button, and censorship is happening, folks. It's happening. Facebook has taken down progressive web pages. You can't do that on radio. So please, let's pull together. Let's have each other's back in a really big way. And let's row the boat together. Because that's the way we're going to deal with the octopus arms that go from money and power people all the way to the doors of BAI and all the other progressive groups in this country and around the world.
Thank you, Carolyn. Let's hear from Steve Zeltzer from KPFA in the Bay Area.
Okay, well, thanks for having this. And I do think we need more discussion, debate about what's going on at Pacifica. And we've been fighting for that at KPFA for many years. But I want to say that, unfortunately, contrary to what's been happening at other stations, at KPFA, there's been a lack of transparency. In fact, when I got on the local station board from the staff, representing the staff, a lot of the time at the local station board was spent by Bill Campisi, who was a former board member, talking about how to sue Pacifica Foundation or how to go into bankruptcy so that they could sell off the stations, WBAI and others. Now, it was amazing to me. Why would you spend time at a local station board meeting about the legal problems or issues concerning going into bankruptcy? I mean, is this the responsibility of a local station board? And the people, the same people who were in favor of the corporatization of the bylaws and lawsuits, and there was a lawsuit just recently by the chair of the KPFA board to put the Pacifica into receivership, into trusteeship. Now, is this the job of a local station board chair to sue Pacifica to put it into trusteeship? This is part of the problem. And at the same time at KPFA, there's no finance committee. There's a lack of transparency. There's the local station board, which supports management, hasn't been able to have an evaluation of the manager for years, violating the bylaws that we have at KPFA. So these are serious structural problems. And I think that part of it also is that in the last, we in KPFA, we did mobilize to oppose the takeover at WBI. We had pickets. My program was thrown off the air called Work Week. It's now on KPOO, a local Black community station. But the change in programming has happened unilaterally by the manager without any consultation of the local station board. There's no programming committee to have a consultation about programs, to have evaluations. So it's an autocratic, top-down, corporate-type operation that they run. And I think one of the telling features of how they run KPFA, how they would like to run if they're successful with this new corporate bylaw change, is that following the last defeat of their bylaws, there was never a report to the listeners at KPFA about the results of the election. Now, why would not a local station community board have a report to the listeners that, in fact, a bylaw change, which actually management was supporting and others report what the results of the election was? There was no explanation. The news department didn't have a report. So basically the listeners are left out really not knowing what's going on. Now, I think that what we have to do at Pacifica, and we have a serious problem, and that is our listeners are not young listeners, but they're seniors or older people, is that we have to revitalize Pacifica. We have to have a multimedia platform. We have to do more live streaming of rallies, of actions around the country. We have to cover, for example, what's going on in Houston now, Texas, where people have been without electricity, without power, and we have a station there, which we should be supporting. And unfortunately, we need to come together as a network and affiliates to start getting the stories out that aren't being gotten out by corporate media. That's how we're going to start to raise our listenership. So people are excited. Now, Furling, Getty just passed away. He was a big supporter of KPFA, and he was against the homogenization that was going on at KPFA. He spoke out, actually, against the canceling of programmings, of the red baiting began to be going on with the removal of William Mandel. And I find it shocking that the people who are leading this bylaw proposal, the latest bylaw proposal, are now saying that Pacifica has been taken over by the Workers' World Party and the Green Party. Now, this kind of red baiting has no place in Pacifica. And I mean, the idea that, you know, the Workers' World and Green Party have taken over Pacifica, it's completely ludicrous. Anyone who knows Pacifica and knows the people in Pacifica, no, that's not true. Why would they say something like that? But it reflects a method, an anti-communist method of how you operate. And I think we have to break from that. We have to educate the rank and file. We have to start letting new voices on. I know youth at radio was kicked off of KPFA. There's a hostility to bringing on young voices. And I think if we're going to survive as a network, we have to start bringing on the young voices and struggle. And we right now think about it. We had the momentous year last year where millions of people were on the street against racism, against these racist murders and terror, which continues today. And we, Pacifica, need to reflect those voices. We need to reflect those struggles. And if we do that, we will solve quickly our financial problems. But last, I want to say that this board, despite all its problems, has resolved a lot of problems. We're not threatened with bankruptcy. We're putting off, we're taking care of the loan. And we are dealing with the real problems that we have. So I think to go to a corporate top-down structure, to bring in people who have no experience in radio, as other people have said, is a recipe for disaster. And I want to protect the network, build it, and have new voices out. And we are going to overcome this this COVID, this pandemic, and we have to be there for people of this country so that they have a voice that is not censored by a corporate media, which is dominating, really, social media and the world, really.
Thank you, Steve. We're going to start taking listener call-ins in just 5 minutes. And let me repeat that phone number. It's 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. But before we do that, I'd like to hear from WBI producer Mimi Rosenberg.
Well, greetings, colleagues. I'm filled with energy and enthusiasm. Greetings, valued listeners, because this is Women's History Month. And during this weekend of celebration of International Working Women's Day, my spirit just evolves. And it evolves because I just came in from a whole number of immigrant workers marching across bridges, through Brooklyn to the village of Harlem, fighting for the rights of the working class. Now, why do I mention that? What's that got to do with anything? Well, it's got to do with everything, because they are the spirit. They are the voice. They are the ones who are the movers and shakers that create the program and whose voices are on our mighty, mighty station. Whose media? Your media. Whose station? Your media. We the people. The unique venue that is WBAI, that is Pacifica, that is the people's media, the people's megaphones. What do they do with it? They educate. They agitate. They organize to empower they, we the people. Why? Because another world is possible, and we are the ones to make it so. And this media network enables us to do that like none other. So what are we fighting for? We're fighting to keep WBAI, to keep WPFW, to keep our California stations, to keep our Houston station, keeping on as the people's megaphone. Is it at stake? Oh, yes, it is. There is a direct link between an organization known as New Day Pacifica, who is through the mechanisms of the state, trying to enforce, trying to impress upon us a referendum that would utterly change the entire nature of democracy and the governance of this station. We happen to be a unique venue. What do? We believe that it's radio for the people, of the people, by the people. That doesn't mean that someone else comes in and determines what your neighborhood should look like, what your issue is about. It means that we have a structure that allows for the participation of those people whose voices we want and do have on the air, those who are disenfranchised, those who are marginalized. And we will not give that up. And the New Day Pacifica organization that wants to corporatize, and when I say that, I don't mean just structurally, I mean in terms of a vision of how broadcast media is produced. It's not by the people. It's not with the warts. It's not with the passions. It's not with the issues of the people. It's by a professionalized group that makes decisions for the community. There is a real meaningful question that is up in the broader society today. What is democracy? And how do we actually realize what has been nothing more in this country than the promise of democracy? What has that got to do with Pacifica? Well, again, if you believe this is people, the radio, by the people, for the people, then the question is not just what is broadcast over the air, but who makes the decision on that? What this network looks like? Do we form community partnerships? How do we raise funds? How do we bring in young people whose voices get heard? All of the issues. All of the issues in this media landscape, it is strategic, it is essential that if you value democracy and you believe in a people's radio network by and for the people, that the governance must be by and for the people. That doesn't mean a constricted, narrow, corporatized model of rule on the decisions and policies. It means broadening the tent, making it bigger. It means about organizing and agitating and educating and training people to become the leaders. We are the ones we've been waiting for. We are the leaders. So let me be clear. New Day Pacifica is trying to enforce a referendum to change our structure to be ruled and governed by a small, self-anointed, self-perpetuating hierarchy and strip us of our voice and strip us of the right to make the policies and practices that determine the broadcast that you get to hear. I am not your leader or ruler. You must be involved. You must be engaged. And there's so much that's already been said, but I want to be clear. There is a referendum that is going to be going out to people who are subscribers. Subscribers. And let me say, this is an enormous opportunity. It is a very limited window for you to become a subscriber to any one of the stations and be eligible to vote. And to vote no, to vote no, to vote no, to reject New Day Pacifica and their effort to completely dismantle our stations, to vanillaize them, literally and figuratively, homogenize them, and strip you of your right to determine in the stations that you help build what they sound like and who they truly represent. So I implore you to support this station financially, each one of our stations. Become a subscriber, engage. And I can assure you that as part of the dialectics of our current structure, what do? Well, we will continue to keep on keeping on with you involved. We will develop those multi-platforms for us to broaden our expression to more and more groups of viewers and listeners. We will figure out ways to increase our financing with your involvement. We will contemporize and have the development plans, and we will partner with others to have a broader political voice in this terrible, terrible media landscape that has excluded most of the issues that we care about. You got to be kidding. Only over the Pacifica network. Preserve that. Support that. And dear sisters and brothers, again, this is your opportunity. There's a very narrow window to do two things. Become a subscriber so that you can vote and support our stations. You have about a week left to do that. Number one. Number two, I want you in New York to keep in touch with WBAI Fight Back that has coordinated, agitated, and organized the fight to defeat the New Day Pacifica referendum. Vote no and become engaged, which you have the opportunity to do now, which will be taken away from you. Become engaged in the station governance so that it even better reflects your voices, your views, your community needs, your issues, and keeps on keeping on and does it even better because you will be involved. And that's what's at stake here, ripping away the governance structure entirely, entirely from we the people who have built and supported the station and robbing us of our voices. And if you think there's any issue about that, understand lastly, there's a direct link There's a direct link between New Day Pacifica and the coup that occurred in October 2009, the armed coup at WBAI that fired every single one of the workers and fired all of the listeners and stole their voices to put in place a vanillaized, homogenized view of life from a handful of elitists. We cannot accept that. Vote no, no New Day Pacifica. And then what do? You become engaged. You work with us to educate.
Thank you, Mimi.
To organize for these stations to realize their promise, which is unlimited. And you can only do that by making sure we preserve ourselves.
Thank you, Mimi.
Thank you so much, dear listeners and dear colleagues, for participating in this forum.
We'll get another chance to hear from our guests before we sign off, and we'll even have a special surprise. But right after our musical interlude, we're going to take some listener call-ins. And again, the phone number is 212-209-2877. Let's go to our mid-hour interlude. This is a special production of the Pacifica Radio's Democracy Project, and we're discussing the New Day Pacifica referendum and its implications. And we are now going to hear from some of our listeners. And let's go. First listener.
All right, caller, you are now on. Please tell us your name and where you are calling from.
Okay, this is this WBAA Fightback is in the house. This is right now you have two members of WBAI Fightback on the phone. This is Donna Stein from Ecologic and WBAI Fightback, and Stahimili Map from
Out FM, WBAI Fightback.
Right. All right, WBAI Fightback, and thank you, Mimi, for mentioning us and being a valued member of the organization. WBAI Fightback was formed to fight the last attack on WBAI. This was a year and a half ago. And we are independent WBAI. This is an outrageous attack. What WBAI Fightback did was coordinate a huge telephone campaign, contacting emails when they were available, contacting everybody we could to get them to vote no. I'm going to give you a telephone number that we used because we haven't had this problem up to now for the last several months. Now we do. Don't call the number until Wednesday when we update it. The number is 917-781-03-NO. 0366, 917-781-0366. Best if you don't leave messages because we are all volunteers, unless you really need to. But there will be an update on there asking, as Mimi was saying, that we need you to become a subscriber. We need you to vote for the station and whatever other instructions that we have. To vote no, exclamation point, is the name of this call. We are a total selfless group of volunteers and producers, and we really want to save WBAI. Mealy?
Yes, and for those who don't know, WBAI Fight Back, what's a good fight? The last time we organized our listeners and our producers, we made phone calls to almost everyone that we could to remind them the referendum was coming up and that they needed to vote to support our station and to support what we do locally. We also worked with the Washington station to help them contact their staff as well as their listeners. So check that number, 917-781-0366, for further information. We may need you to help us. We may need you to help along with Fight Back to get organized to fight this referendum, because we cannot let them win. So the number again will be 917-781-0366, and please give us until at least Wednesday to update the information as to next steps around WBAI Fight Back, which is still operating.
Yeah, we have.
Thank you.
We have been meeting on a regular basis, keeping ourselves mobilized for the time where we would be needed, hoping that we would never going to be facing this fight again. But of course, the bad guys, we know Ecologic knows from our environmental activism that the bad guys keep coming back.
They're back. Let's hear from our next caller.
All right, caller, you are now on the air. Please tell us your name and where you are calling from.
Hi, this is Cabby from Manhattan. I started attending community advisory board meetings with Jim Dingman back when he had him in the church, and some senior call-in people used to come to that meeting. We're going back maybe 15, 18 years ago. And then I started going to the finance meetings, and they're coming up. The community advisory board meetings are every third Sunday by phone, and you look on the website, the number should be there, listen for the announcement. And the finance meeting is coming up. In lieu of all that's going on, I suggest that a lot of people and producers attend the finance meeting coming up on the 17th at 7 p.m. Look on the webpage of BAI, and you can see those there. And you have to listen on the air for the call-in numbers because they're not posted on the site. So I would say also that I take some difference and opposite view of some of these things, because one, I don't know why no one from Pacifica is on the air or is given equal time. We don't even know these people. It's they, them, those, and it would be nice if they had equal time or they had a show as well to say why you're doing this and what is the plan. Back when I was in the CAB, or I'm in the community advisory board meetings, we found out that from Bill Crozier that what the plan was, this is before they shut down the station and came to the station, was when he was executive director, that we were going to take one-third of the best program of BAI, one-third of really good programming from around the country and mostly from California, and one-third new applicants in the New York City community area to apply for shows. That sounded pretty good to me. So there's a lot more to this, and I would hope that listeners and Johanna Fernandez tune into the finance meeting, come in, be part of it, and you might get an aspect of why the acorn doesn't fall too far from the tree. Because a lot of the last thing here, 30 seconds.
Thank you for your contribution. Just to answer a question you brought up,
the New Day Pacifica people have had plenty of time on the air. They've been on both KPFA and KPFK and have been propagandizing for their referendum for weeks and months, and they have given no time whatsoever to the other side. So we're just trying to make up a little lost ground. Let's go to the next caller, please.
All right, caller, you are now on the air. Please tell us your name and where you are calling from. Okay, let's try the next one. All right, caller, you are on the air. Please tell us your name and where you are calling from.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm calling from Brooklyn. Is PFA, WBAI traded on the internet? Because when I punch in it, when I go on it on the internet, I get an internet.com number, 500com lieutenant. Is that a company that owns the whole Pacific, and they're trading the companies on the radio stations on the internet?
You have to go to wbai.org. You might be going to the wrong place.
Okay. WBAI.org.
Let's take one more caller.
All right, caller, you are now on the air. Please tell us your name and where you are calling from.
Hello?
Yes, that is you. Hello.
Hi, thank you.
You're welcome.
My name is James Sagerton. I'm the current chair of the Pacifica National Finance Committee, also known as the treasurer of Pacifica. And I just wanted to say that Pacifica is a unique organization, perhaps in the world, wherein we have a media organization, a media radio network, that is controlled by the workers and the members. And this is completely unique, again, I say, in the world. And what we have to be concerned about here is that this group that wants to take over our network wants to strip out the democracy, which allows all of us to have a say in what goes on over our air. They want to strip that out of Pacifica, and they always blame governance and democracy at Pacifica for all of the problems in Pacifica. And let's be real, the main problems in Pacifica right now are financial. We're not getting enough money to support ourselves and to maintain ourselves into the future. And they offer no solutions. They offer absolutely zero in the way of any explanation of why democracy causes financial problems, because it doesn't. And they offer no explanation of how taking it out of the hands of the many and putting it into the hands of the few is somehow going to solve our financial problems. It is not. There is no connection between taking democracy out of Pacifica and solving our financial problems. And that's all I had to add. I just wanted to put that little bit in. Thank you very much.
Thank you, James. I think that, unfortunately, I don't think we have any more time for listener call-ins, but hopefully we'll be doing other programs on these issues in the coming days and weeks. But I would like to hear from our guests one last time. So let's start with Ron Pinchback from our Washington, D.C. station.
All I want to say is this, folks. You heard it all here this afternoon, and as Mimi said, you built these stations. You, as listeners, built these stations. You know, over the years, you know, you've built them brick by brick, pledge by pledge, and you know, you don't want to give up those. Yeah, raising a child, you're just going to turn them over to somebody that's going to abuse them, you know? So, that's it, guys. You know, we stand in solidarity here. And I hope the listeners, you know, do understand what's at stake. And listen, you know, the whole notion that it's governance as previous caller mentioned, it's not governance. It's It's these people who keep interjecting themselves into things that cost us money, that cost the network money, you know. And every time we have to spend money on one of these referendums or one of their tantrums, as somebody called it, you know, that makes the financial picture look, you know, weak. And they use that to justify, oh, governance is the problem. You know, they don't know what they're doing. No, we're too busy fighting off these various lawsuits from spurious individuals. But that's a whole other story. Vote no, folks. Vote no. Protect your investments. And thank you.
I'm sorry, I was muted. Let's hear from Carolyn, and thank you for that contribution, Ron.
Thank you, Alex, Linda, Bertold, and everybody at BAI for organizing this show tonight. And I'm just echoing what you're saying, that it's so important to support WBAI. Keep us rowing the boat together. It takes all of us working together. So donate to WBAI. All you have to do is donate $25 and then you can vote. You can vote down this referendum. Don't support New Day Pacifica because that's about shrinking power. That's about putting power in fewer hands and fewer voices. Please become a member of WBAI. At least $25. You can vote. You can run to join the local station board. We have elections coming up for the local station board. Please consider running, especially if you have some talents and skills that you want to offer, a voice that you want to offer. Contact anybody on the local station board. You can contact me at cemac62@aol.com. And I'll be happy to help you or help you get in contact with other board members to find out how to join the board.
Thank you, Carolyn. Let's hear one more time from Steve Zeltzer from the Bay Area.
Yeah, I think, you know, the listeners, the supporters of Pacifica need to protect our democratic process. And that's really what's at attack here. We have to, as you talk about spending money, $150,000, if that was spent to cover COVID, if that was spent to cover the fight for healthcare in this country, or the Amazon workers, the struggle of the Amazon workers, covering how workers all over the country need to have a living wage, need to have the right to have a union. I mean, that would be tremendous. We have to build Pacifica with a multimedia platform that brings in a lot of voices. And I think the people that are pushing this want to limit the voices. They don't want a variety of different voices. They want to control, have strip programming, and really destroy the independence of Pacifica. And we don't need more corporate radio. We need more voices on Pacifica. And that is what's going to save us. When people see real radio, not somebody that chooses what you're going to hear, but the real voices of people in this country. I think that is, and that's how KPFA became a very solid station, by having Sproul Hall live. I mean, this is what we did in the 60s. I mean, Sproul Hall free speech was that live on KPFA. It electrified people. We need to do the same thing on Pacifica nationally, and they will excite people about why we have to protect and defend this. It means voting against and joining Pacifica, but voting against this corporatization of the bylaws, self-appointed people, and limiting the right of the local station boards of local members to have any participation in Pacifica. And if we have to do that, and we have to have an agenda truly to build Pacifica to the kind of powerful network it should be as a multimedia platform.
Thank you, Steve. And before I turn over the
other point, I wanted to mention that people can get more information by going to Pacifica, Rescue Pacifica, and Fight Back Pacifica, and that's important, because I think if people want more information, there's more out there that they should be getting, and that's important. That's
it. Thank you. Before we go to WBI producer Mimi Rosenberg, who has a surprise soundtrack for us, and we have a special guest who will talk to us for 30 seconds, the WBI general manager, Bertold Reimers. Bertold.
Hi, how you doing? Where are you, Alex? Good. Okay. Yeah. Well, obviously, I feel proud to be in the company of some strong and really dedicated people. I know One Pinchback's been around for quite a while in the struggle, fighting the good fight and keeping things going when sometimes things were not really looking good. I just want to first of all say that WBAI, we sounds really pretty damn good lately. You know, I've been listening to the station a lot. Normally, I always listen to the station a lot because I have to figure out what's going on. But lately, I've been listening because I enjoy it. This past Friday, not this Friday, the Friday before, I was listening from 10 p.m. to 5 in the morning because I couldn't turn it off. We have so many good stuff going on. So with that in mind, the reason why WBI is in the position it is today is we had the West Coast stations. Some people say that is because they were hiding things or whatever it was. So these are not data that I have. But they hindered the audit of the financials of the station. So we did not have our financials, and then we lost our CPB funding. The CPB funding that we have lost is exactly equal to the amount of money that the WBI is in the red. In other words, $25,000 a month is what the CPB used to give us. And that's what we used to pay the central service. They just collected the money. Second, the idea and the concept of NETA came directly from WBI. After they have squandered and mismanaged the finances for a long time, after I spoke to someone, husband, Nia Bidiako's husband, Buhudi Bidiako, who was an accountant, giving me some ideas, and I could not use his company because, you know, that this is, you know, people use, you know, in the Windows. So therefore, what we did is Udi gave me the idea that we have some really good not-for-profit organization.
Bertone, we have to wrap it up.
Okay, so basically, vote against this damn thing. WBI is doing okay. We have a 52-week schedule. We are trying to. We're trying to run and see how it works, and we're evaluating things every time. Vote against this thing. Let's focus on raising money. Let's focus on writing grants. Let's focus on, as a network, on pushing out a podcast as opposed to spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in this nonsense. And Mimi, by the way, Fannie Lou Hamer special is amazing. Even though it's not making as much money as we would like, it is amazing. I keep listening and get goosebumps. So our programming is getting pretty damn good. It's getting better and better.
Okay. Thank Mimi, you have a special audio track to introduce?
Well, I want to say, in the spirit of Fannie Lou Hamer, I want people to call 917-781-0866. That number is 917-781-0366. Starting Wednesday, to get involved in making sure that we support People's Radio of the people, by the people, for the people. That means we don't only listen to it, we don't only broadcast with it, we govern it. That's what it's about. Support people's governance of their institutions. No to New Day Pacifica. And who better to take us out than the brilliant, wonderful humanist journalist who we must support, political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal, who represents the best of all that our stations have always been about. And that's what we're asking you to support, dear friends. And to all my colleagues on this broadcast, right on, power to the people. That's what we stand for, and work with WBAI Fight Back to make sure that we keep this station and network keeping on.
About the newest events occurring at Pacifica Station, we hear the word centralization. How can centralization be a problem? We ask this question because we live in a centralized state in many ways, where the federal government from Washington, D.C. is the chief administrative agency that runs this huge entity that we call the federal government. And that's a good thing, right? Well, radio isn't a government. Radio is an intimate, personal way of communication that communicates to people that it cannot see, by people that cannot be seen, but they can be heard. It is voice to mind. And centralization is essentially one thing and one thing only: control. Centralization